New York is once again making history, but not in a way we'd like. For the fourth year in a row, we're experiencing record-setting weather conditions. Let's look back. In 2021, around this time, my first 2 weeks as governor, we had two hurricanes, which was more than the state of Florida had at the time. In 2022, we had an historic blizzard in the city of Buffalo with 51 inches of snow. In 2023, we had a 1,000-year flooding event in the Hudson Valley. And this year, something new. In 2024, we're seeing a record number of tornadoes across New York, actually 23 in this month of July alone. So, I've said this before, we've had circumstances in places like Buffalo as recently as yesterday, and in Fulton County, causing a lot of down power lines and trees and some damage in western New York. And that's on top of other tornadoes they had there just recently. I've said this before, this is our new normal because of climate change. And as the leader of this state, it's all about being prepared in advance with the early warning systems we have, which went off this morning with great intensity, which is why we're here today. My job is to bring every resource to the table to protect New Yorkers. Today I'm joined by my dream team, Catherine Garcia, who's been at my side through every one of these disasters, the head of state operations, as well as Commissioner Jackie Bray, the Commissioner of Homeland Security and Emergency Services, who is also joining us by Zoom. I just dropped a Zoom with her with Dishes up in Albany, where we're participating in a media literacy event. So what we have to do is focus on getting the updates. I'm getting updates literally every hour, starting early this morning, about what is about to hit the state of New York. Now, I'm not talking about the hurricane. That's coming. It's stalled right now, devastating. But I'm talking about new conditions that show a shift, a rapid shift. And I wanted to share the latest with New Yorkers and make sure they're paying close attention. Again, we heard on the news yesterday, this is a later in the week, possibly weekend event. We're talking about something different. So right now, we have a flood watch in place for the entire downstate region. We're expecting heavy rain across New York City, Long Island, and the lower Hudson Valley. When's it starting? Not this weekend. It's starting this afternoon and continuing into tomorrow morning. Now, here's the problem. This is expected to be bringing huge volumes of rain, estimated at 3 to 5 inches in the heaviest places. This could fall at the rate of 3 inches per hour, and what that leads to is severe flooding. Also a risk of severe thunderstorms, which can be deadly, and also power lines could be down and people without power. Now, as I said, this is happening today. This is all before we expect the remnants of Tropical Storm Debbie, which are expected to hit New York later this week. Debbie, as we know, has already dumped as much as 15 inches of rain in the state of Florida, and it's expected to continue to move through the Carolinas on our way. And already 4 people have lost their lives tragically as a result of this storm in Florida. Now, it's too early to tell the impact that Debbie will have on New York, but every model shows that we are in the bullseye, right in the path of this storm coming. So for that reason, and what we're experiencing today, I've already activated New York State's Emergency Operations Center for the entire week. I've already activated 100 members of the National Guard, pre-deploying them to be able to assist wherever necessary. I've communicated with Jana Lieber and the MTA to ensure that they are prepared for the worst-case scenarios. And again, this is something we had experience with early in my term as governor when we saw the images of water rushing down the stairs, debilitating our subway system. We've taken significant remedial steps since then, and he has already put in place a number of remediation in place, as well as measures we're taking right now. So our emergency management team has reached out to local officials all over the region, and we're going to continue monitoring. So you've heard these before, but I'm going to repeat them again, the safety tips. Calling on all New Yorkers to continue monitoring this storm. Set your phone to get alerts. Make sure that you're watching out where your family is at this time. And I would say when this starts, you do not want to be on the roads. With flash flooding, conditions change so rapidly. and you could end up in a vehicle. Just a small amount of rain can turn your vehicle into a boat and you are washed away. That is the tragedy that happens in these storms when people are just going about their everyday lives and not taking extreme precautions. So the Weather Service is going to keep sending out automated text messages. Keep an eye on those. And if you live in a low-lying area, which is a lot of this downstate region, have your to-go bag packed. Make sure you have an evacuation plan ready with your family. And as I said, stay off the roads because half of all deaths during flash flooding are vehicle-related. 6 inches of water can make you lose control of your vehicle. So I want to turn it over right now to Catherine Garcia to give more of our details and our preparation. But this is something to be taken seriously. Do not wait until the hurricane remnants come. This is about to start today, and we're also advising our agencies to monitor the situation. Catherine will speak some more about that, but we want to also have people prepare to go home early. Talk to your employer, should be listening to this, watching this, and the best place may be for people not to be in transit heading home during a massive storm, but to start leaving their offices early today. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Catherine Garcia to talk in more detail about our preparations.
Thank you, Governor. As many of you know, the governor had been directing us within operations to be paying very close attention to the upcoming hurricane. And so I think that for many New Yorkers, the fact that we are going to have a severe weather event today may be coming as a surprise. So I want to reiterate what she said, which is please do take this seriously. As she mentioned, she put National Guard on state activation this morning, 100 National Guard operating out of JFK, Fort Hamilton, and Gabreski Air Force Base. The EOC is open. Our stockpiles are open. We have over 5,600 utility workers in state to repair any damage to our electrical system. We have almost 3,500 DOT staff available to clear roads, including chippers, cut and toss crews, repair to traffic light towers, excavators, as well as dump trucks. The MTA similarly has chainsaw crews available, as well as their high-capacity pump state trains and their debris-clearing trains. They also are prepared to repair utility poles and crossing gates. DEC is brought in its forest rangers, who can provide that similar tree assistance, as well as their swift water rescue teams. And the state parks will also be on alert. Again, we want people to be paying attention. As the day goes on, we anticipate that we will see this storm move in this afternoon. And as the governor said, she has directed that state agencies allow employees to leave early today, depending on whether or not we can maintain operations, but we want to make sure that everyone gets home safely this evening and that we continue also to prepare for significant weather going into the weekend. With that, I would like to have Commissioner Jackie Bray provide you with an update on this weather as well as any other weather systems coming into the state. With that, Commissioner.
Thank you so much, Catherine, and thank you, Governor. They have done a good job of giving the forecast, and I'm here at the State Emergency Operations Center in Albany. We are monitoring the storms coming our way right now from just east of Nassau County, the Nassau-Suffolk line, up through Rockland County. We have between a 40 and a 70% chance of flash flooding. When we have seen this level of threat before in New York State, they have been bad days. It has been days where we've seen major flooding. And so if you are in Nassau County, anywhere in New York City, Westchester, Rockland, it is a day to pay attention and to be aware. As both Catherine and the governor said, while this starts today, this is not yet what will be Tropical Storm Debbie when she gets. But I do want to give New Yorkers an update on what we expect later in the week as well. We expect Tropical Storm Debbie to reach New York late Friday and to hang out with us all day Saturday and into the day on Sunday. While there's still a lot of uncertainty about exact impacts, we do expect intense rain over the weekend as well. So as you're planning for today, also be thinking and preparing for the weekend. I also want to just say that New Yorkers aren't wrong to think that the weather's been a bit weird. And as the governor said, extreme weather's become an everyday occurrence. I want to give people a little bit more information about what we have experienced in July. We experienced 23 tornadoes in July, 26 overall for the year. That is a record for New York State. That is more tornadoes than we have ever had in a year, including a really devastating EF2, 135 mile an hour tornado in downtown Rome on July 6th. And as the governor said, a tornado in downtown Buffalo yesterday that tore the roof off of a nursing home. It hasn't only been tornadoes, though. We also saw significant and severe flooding during the remnants of Hurricane Beryl. We set rainfall records in Lewis County, in Essex County, in Jefferson County over the month of July. We've got over 166 homes and small businesses that were either fully destroyed or sustained major damage, another about 550 homes or small businesses that were minorly damaged or affected in some ways. The state has deployed $11 million, thanks to Governor Hochul, in order to get some relief to homeowners. And we're working with our federal partners to bring additional relief to the areas that have seen significant flooding and have seen such significant tornadoes. But as we keep saying, this is the new normal, and this is what we have to be prepared for and what we are prepared for. Thank you.
We see, let's see, we got a crowd here. Jason.
Governor, it's not on the storm, I hope that's
any storm-related questions? Okay, everybody be ready. It's going to be a tough one.
I had two questions about the VP pick from Vice President Harris. First of all, I wanted to know what it was like serving in the House with Governor Waltz, if you have any memories or what that was like. And also, some Jewish Democrats are thinking or fearing that Governor Shapiro might have been passed over because he was Jewish or too pro-Israel. Do you think anti-Semitism or things around that played into the decision to not go with Governor Shapiro?
I certainly don't know what was factored into the decision, other than I will say this. We have such an outstanding bench in the Democratic Party. I'm sure it was a difficult decision because everybody had so much to offer, very diverse candidates. And the vice president obviously made her determination to go with Tim Walz, who, as you mentioned, I serve with in Congress. I've known him for over a decade. We didn't just serve in Congress. We were literally on the same floor, the seventh floor of the Longworth building. So we were neighbors. And so we'd often spend time chatting, going in the elevator together, sitting together on the floor of the House. And he's such an optimistic, can-do person. And, you know, he represented a very Republican district in Minnesota. I represent the most Republican district in the state of New York. So we had this affinity for understanding that we have to reach out to more people, more voters, and that's the asset that he brings to this. He's done that successfully in Minnesota. And so he has a progressive heart. He wants to continue focusing on families and supporting the labor community and making sure we have protections. Reproductive rights are so important to all of us, but he has leaned into this in a Republican-leaning area. And so we're with him philosophically, but he also has the common man touch. You know, he's the kind of guy who can walk into a VFW hall, slap everybody on the back, and say, let me buy the next round. I mean, there's a connection between him and people, which is a rarity in our business, and it's special. I try to employ that and try to go out there and see people where they are, the farms, the rural areas, and let people know that there's no part of our country or our state that it has been left behind. He'll be that bridge to communities who feel that their voices have not been heard. So I think he's an extraordinary pick. I know Josh Shapiro very well as a fellow governor, a neighboring governor, and I also know that he'll work very, very hard to bring in the votes from Pennsylvania that we need to make sure that the Harris-Walz ticket is successful just a few months from now.
On congestion pricing, have you recently held any discussions around revenue? Have you met with lawmakers recently about next steps on that?
I've been having communications with leaders, yes. Speak about it recently, yes, we have. We know our path. We know that this is a temporary pause. We know that we have a timeline to really focus on this, have our plan in place. We can present it to the legislature. As you know, we presented some plans in June. We want to massage those and get a way that'll earn the support of the legislature. And I believe that we're on the right path. This is something that people have recognized. That is the thing, something we needed to do at the time. It was just too much for New Yorkers at that time. $15 all at once, impacting people are struggling, working hard in our city. $3,800 a year for teachers, firefighters, police, healthcare workers, you know, pizza delivery, businesses were concerned. So I think people understand what was behind it. I have made commitments that we are keeping. Second Avenue Subway, already talking to the, have been talking to the White House for a long time to make sure that that's protected. I feel confident in that. We just put over $54 million toward keeping that on path. And this will be resolved literally in a few months to have everybody have clarity on what the path is going forward with the legislature.